Happy Friday and welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Curry, filling in for Jenny Taff. On today's show, is there already cause for concern with LeBron and the Lakers? Plus, Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson joins the show to break down the NFL's most dynamic running backs. And can the Cowboys get a big win in Washington on Sunday? Skip, Shannon, let's get to it. Now, LeBron made his debut for the Lakers last night in Portland and got off to a fast start. He had two huge highlight dunks on back-to-back possessions to put the Lakers up early, but they were ice cold from three-point range, missing 23 of 30. LeBron finished with a team-high 26 points and 12 rebounds, but the Lakers lost 128 to 119. Overall, LeBron has lost all four openers he's played for a new team. Now we are joined by FS1 NBA analyst Steven Jackson. Steven, were you encouraged by what you saw from the Lakers last night?
Well, it was basically what I expected. LeBron is going to be dominant. It's going to be a while before we find out who's going to be his Batman. And that's just what it is.
Does he have a Batman?
I don't know. But you know I'm going to say this. I'm available because I see nobody throw a tic-tac in the ocean.
Yeah.
So I'm available, but they gotta have somebody that can knock down shots. It's the only thing that's gonna take pressure off LeBron. And their best player last night, second best player, was JaVale McGee to me.
Yes.
He played solid defensively and offensively. And if he's your second best player, you're not gonna win too many games.
Skip. Who said that? I could have swore I said that. Because LeBron is LeBron. He's gonna be great. Eastern Conference, Western Conference,
Mars.
Put him on Mars, yeah. Put him on Pluto. It does not matter, Skip Bayless. He's the best. He will always be the best until otherwise noted. Back to the original problem that I thought that, and I knew, like, when they were putting this team together, I'm like, okay, Rondo, he can handle the ball, can get you some quality points, JaVale and Lance, all that. Who gonna shoot the ball?
Yep.
At some point in time, LeBron at his absolute best is getting downhill, kicking the shooters. Okay, he got downhill some last night.
Or cutters. You can kick it to cutters, too.
Yep, but that's in the lane.
Okay. They're
about to bottle that up. They're not going to let you get 70 points a night in the paint, Skip. You have to knock down some shots. What makes Golden State so effective is that they leave you scrambling. Yeah, okay, they got guys that can get to the basket. But you close that basket off, guess what they can do? Klay can knock down a shot. Draymond can knock down a shot. We know what Steph can do. That's what you got to have, Skip, and I don't know. I don't worry about the communication. I don't worry about the continuity. I don't worry about any of that. I worry about them putting the ball in the basket on a consistent basis. In order for them to be who they want to be in the regular season and go far in the playoff, they must find someone that can hit some open shots. And last night, they couldn't buy a basket.
Well, after their first 15, they went 7 for their last 15. That'll work. 7 of 15, right? I thought Josh Hart hit some big shots. Lonzo hit a big open shot with 8 minutes to go that made it a one-point game. Well, okay, but that was a big shot.
Stacks just told you the man ain't played in 5-6 years. Stacks said he can get out there right now and go 1-for-7.
All right, fine. And Nick Young would be right there with him because he's sitting home tweeting about.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm here.
Young, right? Ex-Laker. So before I launch into this, I'm going to say one more time what I've said for the last 3 days on this show. Portland is no joke, and I could not understand how a team that finished third last year in the Western Conference could be picked by everybody to miss this year's playoffs, because I never saw one expert pick them to make the playoffs this year. I picked them in the 8th seed, and after last night, I could see them being the 5, 4, 6, I don't know, somewhere in the middle, because the guards just know how to play, and they play off each other, and they can shoot the lights out. And they have depth. And Zach Collins, again, this is his second year in the league. He blocked 6 shots quietly for them.
Yeah, he did.
Okay? So they're a pretty good Western Conference team. And it's no shame to go up there and lose in their building because it's hard to win. You played a bunch of games up there. It's hard to win up there. And if Lonzo's going to hit one open 3, and he looked pretty good doing it, he stroked it. He stepped right into it, and he shot it conventionally from the right side of his face, and it ripped. And all of a sudden, in Rip City, you're down 1 with 8 minutes to go. Okay, there's no shame in that. You hung in with them. And my positive takeaways, I thought their defensive mentality was sensational last night. And it started with JaVale because he was intimidating Nurkic. Nurkic was double clutching, double pump, looking for JaVale over his shoulder.
He only played 17 minutes, Skip.
Well, he got in foul trouble.
Yeah.
But he also got just discombobulated by JaVale. JaVale just outplayed him.
And LeBron would lay it up on him. He tried to block LeBron. Shot LeBron would go it all right.
That's right. That's what's going to be good when you play LeBron.
But JaVale was setting a tone in the lane where they were all looking sideways. Mm-hmm. He changed or bothered, I don't know, four or five other shots. I didn't see that coming, and it trickled down. Everybody had sort of a defensive, tough mindset where I saw Josh Hart and KCP getting up into people because they will. They can. They're capable of it. We just read the Kobe quote where you got a bunch of physical athletes, and if they get a defensive mentality going, they can compete with you. They can hang with anybody that way, right?
Right. I agree.
Okay? So then I pointed out to Shannon, they scored 70 points in the paint last night. That would have been the best in the league last year. Nobody in the whole league season last year, not one team ever had a night where they scored up to 70 points in the paint. The most last year, New Orleans scored 68 in the paint on the Lakers in March. Okay, that was the old Lakers.
Right.
Well, 70 in the paint, and it's because they push it like crazy, and they're going to get some open baskets on the run. Mm-hmm. You would love this, man. You would just and again, what scarier sight is there in all of basketball than LeBron with a full head of steam in the open floor, two on one?
Nothing.
You're going to see tomahawks, man.
He was looking to attack early.
Well, he was.
In the open court, he didn't care if there were two people back. He's like, I'm going to the bucket.
And remember, you're doing it against the team that plays the slowest pace in the league. Portland just walks it up every time and lets one of the guards kind of go solo, right?
Them in Utah.
Okay? But they're slow. Yeah. They're slow, and so it's hard to get them out running.
Yeah, you try to pull. And they did a good job. And I think early on, Skip, they did a good job of pushing the pace. And then, again, this is why LeBron can't play low minutes. It's because the moment he went to the bench, a five-point lead went to a three-point deficit. And that's what you're going to have. This is a young team, with the exception of LeBron. And he's going to have to play because he's never going to be able to have a quiet night where, you know what, LeBron's out, not going to play the fourth quarter. All their games are going to be close. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to, like you said, you're going to need him to finish. He's going to probably have to finish on the court.
And last night, he was passive aggressive. He didn't go full on takeover down the stretch from 8 minutes home. And again, I'm going to point this up. In his first game with the Miami Heat, the opener with the Heat, his debut game, he had 8 turnovers in that game. Then when he went back to Cleveland, first game, he had 8 turnovers in that game. He had 6 last night, including 3 ugly ones in the fourth quarter. Why is that? Because it's all new, and it's hard to play with him because he's going to try some things that you better be ready for.
Right.
So they just weren't on the same page. And I'm pretty sure the early Heat in game number one, they're like, huh? Like, you better be ready, and you better be on his wavelength because he's going to see it before it happens.
Yeah.
And so he throws 2 passes last night to nobody. Right. Like, he just throws it out of bounds behind his back. And I'm saying, what was that? It reminded me of the Steph pass in Game 7 when they lost.
He just threw
it behind his back into the stands. Like, who are you throwing it to?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, last night, they were not on LeBron's page. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely, as you play your way into this, get them halfway through the season, the kids will start saying, oh. I better keep my head up here. I gotta see it when he sees it, right?
I kind of expected that because we all know LeBron's IQ is in another planet than the guy. Him and Rondo IQ is on another level. And I knew he was going to make a lot of turnovers because he's trying to get these guys confidence, trying to get them on his level, trying to get these guys going. So it's going to be a couple more games of that. But how long is it going to take them to pick it up? How long is it going to take them to get on LeBron's level?
Right.
And that's that because you don't want LeBron to start getting frustrated. You know,
everybody's going to get frustrated because they have way too many bodies for 5 slots.
Right.
So somebody's going to be unhappy here pretty soon because Luke's going to slowly find these 5 work in the fourth quarter.
Well,
right?
That's the thing. The problem is that Kuzma, Hart, and Lonzo, they were starters last year. Mm-hmm. Now they're coming off the bench. It's one thing, Skip, but even if they get they're getting minutes, it's just something about being a starter. Mm-hmm. When you go out there with that starting lineup, but you played a lot of minutes. Mm-mm, that ain't the same, because I didn't
know.
Exactly.
Okay, Lance only played 17 last night, and Beasley played only 2 minutes last night. Trust me, if that continues, those two won't be real happy. And LeBron loves Michael Beasley. He loves him.
They need more system guys.
Okay.
They got a lot of young guys that want to be one-on-one players, that want to be scorers. They need system guys. They need guys that's comfortable playing off LeBron, comfortable with Rondo getting the ball every time. Because I seen last night, a lot of guys kind of like made faces when LeBron, when Rondo was sitting there asking for the ball for a rebound.
Yeah.
They feel like, well, I can bring it up.
That is true.
Let Rondo get it, bro.
Right.
He, this is what he does. And until they understand that, they're going to struggle all year.
Here's the thing.
Those Kobe, kids are going to wind up on the bench.
Yeah, they're going to have to. Let Rondo do his job.
Stack, you make a very interesting point. Because, see, all these guys, they go to work with Kobe. Kobe was the system. Hmm. Kobe was a one-on-one guy. But when you play with LeBron, you have to play within a system because he's the guy. Mm-hmm. All that one-on-one and that whoop-de-doo. I don't believe Kobe and LeBron could have played together. That ain't happening.
Nah.
The worst fit for LeBron is Kuzma. It just is. Because Kuzma is his own man. He's just going to see ball, shoot ball.
Yeah.
Right?
I've been working on my footwork. Kobe saying, you know, turn on my right shoulder and do it.
Lakers got a lot of work to do. But yeah. We're only one game in.
We just tip
just one game
they
in.
They just holding the board down.
Thank you so much for joining us.
No mercy.
Now, a lot of attention was obviously on LeBron's debut last night, but there was also attention on the L.A. point guards. Rajon Rondo started and ended the game for the Lakers and finished with 13 points and a team-high 11 assists. Lonzo Ball came off the bench and scored 7 points in 19 minutes. He also is coming off knee surgery, and Luke Walton said Lonzo's minutes will be restricted. So, Shannon, how will this play out?
I don't believe it'll play out well for Lonzo. I understand he's on a minute restriction, but I don't know how you get Rondo out of the starting lineup, Skip, when he's playing as well as he is. Mm-hmm. And he and LeBron has a very, very good rapport together.
Yep.
LeBron has raved about Rondo's IQ. Yep. We all know what LeBron represents in the IQ department. Lonzo was on the floor last night late in the first quarter when they gave up the 5-point lead. Mm-hmm. That ended up being a 3-point deficit at the start of the second quarter.
Yep.
You know, Skip, for me, it's just some guys just, they don't play well coming off the bench. They might play the same amount of minutes that they would play as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. I believe it's going to be hard for Lonzo Ball to play in this role because he's always been a starter. He's always been the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always, for the most part, he's always been the best player on the team or the second best player on the team. And he's way down there now, Skip. And I don't know if he can handle that. Like I said, I understand he's on a minute restriction. He has surgery. He's not where he needs to be as far as his legs-wise, maybe not even his wind-wise. But with Rondo playing as well as he played and running the offense like he did, I just don't know how you take him out of the offense when he's probably going to average double digits in the assist department.
Mm.
So I don't think it's going to go very well for Lonzo Ball.
I will agree with you that last night did not bode well going forward for Lonzo Ball. I must say, though, one quick positive, the shot looked 100% better. He's changed it dramatically and radically from the left side of his face to the right side of his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I do admire the fact and thought that it was a great positive sign going forward that he stepped into that three with 8 minutes left on the road at Portland, and he made it to cut the lead to one.
Mm-hmm.
He made his 2 free throws without flinching. And again, he was a disaster last year at the free throw. What was it, 48%?
Yes.
It's horrendously bad for a point guard to shoot 48. You won't last in the league with that. So he stepped right up and made his 2 free throws. It's a start. It's something
it
going forward. But again, I don't know why they acquired Rondo, but Rondo took ownership of that basketball team in the first quarter last night.
He did.
He just took it over, and he had a plus minus of a plus 7 on a bad night for the Lakers on a rough night, and Lonzo had a minus 15. What does that tell you? Good things were not happening when Lonzo was running the court, you know, running the point.
Yep.
And then what happened in the fourth quarter? Rondo wasn't great in the fourth quarter, but I think he wasn't real happy. He played 7 minutes. Lonzo played 5 fourth quarter minutes. That's a lot, man.
Yes.
And again, do you think Rondo loved that? I do not think he loved that. Are they going to have some issues going forward? You better believe
it.
Did Luke feel a little pressure from above, from his boss, Magic, to play Lonzo some in the fourth quarter? You better believe he did. Did it help? Well, again, Lonzo did hit the one. He stroked that 1-3, so that was a positive.
Right.
But Rondo was running the show. He was quarterbacking. He was talking. He was directing.
Right.
He was telling you to be here, to be there,
right.
And he's teaching, and he just took the team over. He's 10 years in this league.
Yes. The question is, Skip, who's going to have the better rapport down the stretch with LeBron?
There's just no doubt. I know it's going to be Rondo.
Well, I don't know.
Who's LeBron going to be more comfortable with? Well, obviously, it's Rondo.
Exactly.
Has he not been there and done all of that?
Yes, yes.
Is he not really good in the playoffs for the Pelicans last year?
A proven commodity.
Was he not the quarterback of a really great Boston team?
Yes.
He was the quarterback.
Yes.
Was he hard to coach? Yeah, he was hard to coach.
And you remember that the seven-game series that they actually lost to Miami?
Yeah.
Rondo had a 44-point game in that series.
He did. And I liked him. He was looking for a shot last night. He was not afraid.
No.
He stepped into some
He hit a three from the corner.
Yeah.
It's just, for me, he's a veteran guy. He's a proven guy. And Lonzo is trying to find his way in the league. Okay, what's going to be my role? Rondo knows what his role is. He knows what it is. And Lonzo is trying to find his way. He's trying to gain some confidence. I don't care how well you've done leading up to this moment. Skip, when you come in as the number two pick and you're supposed to be this, and everybody say, oh, he this.
Yep.
And he struggled last year. He showed some flashes, but he struggled. Mm-hmm. And now they bring a guy in that's a proven commodity. Mm-hmm. He's led the league in assists four times. He's been the starting point guard on a championship-winning team.
Yep.
So you know what you're up against. Do you know how? They ain't handed it to him. Because they could have easily said, okay, Lonzo, you're going to be our guy.
Rondo will not bite his tongue about this. Ooh. Trust me, we're only one game in. Just wait five games in. If this keeps up where he's splitting time in the fourth quarter, they're 50-50, he will speak.
Well, I know
piece.
He won't go quietly to the bench.
He will not go
quietly. Fourth
only
quarter
time will tell. No mercy. The Patriots are taking their three-game winning streak to Chicago on Sunday, but New England special teamer Matthew Slater told a story to ESPN about their win against the Chiefs last week. With about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs scored to go up 33-30. And a dejected Slater said Tom Brady went up to him and said, quote, we're good. Slater then said, quote, I guess we're good. There are guys that flinch and there are guys that don't flinch. He doesn't flinch. The Patriots went on to win 43-40. Skip, what did this tell you?
So, just to give a few more details, the kickoff coverage team had just allowed Kansas City to go 97 yards on the return to set up a very easy, quick walk-in touchdown to make it 33-30 Chiefs with 8:38 left in the fourth quarter. So Brady seeks out the captain of the special teams, Matthew Slater, to fist bump him and just to say, we're good. And it shook up Matthew Slater, according to him, to ESPN, because he wasn't ready for this quarterback to say, I got this. Not yet. Not under those circumstances. So when I heard this, I envisioned people across America, starting in your household up in Bel Air, but I envisioned people rolling their eyes and saying, gag me. Stop it with this Brady greatness stuff. I envision Shannon Sharp reaching for his trash can to upchuck. Am I right?
Yep.
Isn't that your first reaction?
I went to the hardware store and got 15 spike nails and tried to swallow them all.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So it's somewhere that reaction between Brady hate and Brady burnout, because people are just sick and tired of hearing about Brady greatness. But what I thought about immediately was, what if I had read this story about Aaron Rodgers, that on Sunday night he had gone to somebody on defense and said, we're good? And what if he had then pulled off his legendary comeback against C.J. Beathard and the 29th-ranked defense of the San Francisco 49ers? If that had happened, if that story had gotten told by somebody in Green Bay's locker room, that would be legendary headlines.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would. It would be an explosive story that we'd be talking about all week, and many people would call for Aaron Rodgers to immediately be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that you reside in, and he would be the only active Hall of Famer.
You
That's what would happen off that story.
You'd
Am I right about
you're,
that?
No!
Yes.
You're not
yes.
right. You're not
what happened
right.
when we did our Twitter poll the other day? Who's better quarterback between Brady and Aaron Rodgers? And I said, it's just a popularity
they know.
Contest. I'm going to lose.
They
I'm
know.
Going to lose.
They know.
No, they're just sick and tired of Tom Brady. So the point is, he's become so monotonously great that on Monday you just shrugged and said, what else do you expect from Tom Brady? Well, think about what you're saying, that you expect every fourth quarter under fire, under duress against a Kansas City Chiefs team that is threatening to go 6-0 and you're in danger of falling to 3-3. They're going to run away with the AFC and you're engaged in a shootout with the hottest young quarterback in pro football and you can't afford to make the simplest, silliest little mistake or you're going to lose the football game. And again, Kansas City is terrible on defense, but so is New England.
Oh!
Yeah, but so is New England.
But Tom Brady wasn't going against New England's defense.
Oh, but New England's defense had already given up 31 points in the second half. 31 in the second half.
Well, how many had the defense given up?
Huh.
The Patriots, Kansas City's defense had given up?
Well, again, at that point, it's 33-30, but Tom Brady knows that over the last 8 minutes, he's going to have to score three more times. And he did. He takes it right down the field, 7 plays, 75 yards, and then he runs it in the last 4 yards, and that's the go-ahead 37-30 touchdown. And then he needs 2 more field goal drives to win the football game 43-40. That's legendary. That's what that is.
I make nothing of this because I play with John Elway, and he would say this to us all the time, boys, we good. Mm. I'm sure. I'm going to tell Skip Bayless, absolutely fact. In 2000, we were the first team to beat the Tennessee Titans. It used to be called Adelphi Coliseum. Mm. Now, we're the first team to beat them in that building. We had been leading the entire game. Mm-hmm. Would they come back and make a game of it? They're down 3. Trent Dilfer, we're going down the field. Trent throws a pick 6. Mm. He walks off the field. He walks to the defense and says, guys, I let you down, but I'm finna get it back right here. Mm. We go down the field, score a touchdown, come back 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, beat him in the division. Mm. Now, Trent Dilfer is not Tom Brady. Mm. He told the defense, guys, I let you down. I put us here. I'm going to bring us back. Mm.
So you're saying John Elway's better than Tom Brady? No.
All I'm saying is that when you are a leader, just think about when you're on a flight. Alex, you fly all the time. I fly. Mm-hmm. Skip, you fly. Mm-hmm. Just think when the pilot hits a patch of turbulence. He's, oh, my God, we're going to crash. They come on the intercom, and their voice is soothing. Mm. This is your pilot, Shannon Sharp, speaking here. We just hit a rough patch of air. Everything's fine. We're going to level out. We're going to probably climb a little higher, go a little lower, but everything's fine. Mm. That's what they do. They offer calm. They offer a comfort. Skip, baby, what's he supposed to? Oh, my God. Matthew, I can't believe you let the guy go 97 yards down to the 3. What are you talking about? Come on, Skip, for real. Mm. Is that where we are now?
What did we see LeBron James do after the blunder by J.R. Smith going into overtime game 1 at Oracle?
The same thing we saw from the Spurs.
He went, oh, my God, we crashed. That's what he did. That's what he said. We crashed.
The same thing.
We're all dead. It's over.
The same thing the Spurs did. The same thing the Spurs did in game 6 when Ray Allen hit that shot. Mm. You remember? Mm. Oh, they were down. Oh, exactly. Please. Skip, come on now. Look, Tom Brady is great. No one is trying to deny Tom Brady his greatness or his rightful place among the greats.
Legendary.
But to think that he's the only guy that says something comforting, that says something reassuring when it seems like it's about to be chaotic would be disingenuous, would be not true. In other words, that's a lie.
He has done it in the clutch on the biggest stages in sports more than anybody in the history of sports has ever done it. 2 game-winning field goal drives in his first 2 Super Bowls. What looked like a game-winning touchdown drive in the first
Eli
Super Bowl.
Why are you giving him credit? Well, so Vinatieri saved Tom Brady's bacon.
Okay, but he had to set up both those field goals by completing 5 and 6 passes and drives to set up the field goal.
Okay, but...
And then he played the 2 greatest fourth quarters in the history of the Super Bowl against Seattle and against Atlanta, including overtime. And then last year, he throws for a playoff record, 505 in the Super Bowl. It's just clutch on clutch on clutch until it's all-time great. I told you, it's beyond Michael Jordan because Michael didn't have this many opportunities to be clutch.
No.
He keeps getting thrown into cliffhanger games in which he has to pull it out.
But here's the thing. The difference is between the finality because if you lose one game in the playoffs in the NFL, you're going home. And unless you're down 3-1 or it's a game 7, you could lose a game 1 in the playoffs and you continue to play. But, Skip... You need to stop this.
I need
but
to
you,
start.
But I tell you what you didn't do. You didn't read the rest of Matthew Slater's statement where he says Coach Belichick prepares them for every situation, and he says, are we doing this again? Why must we go over this again? And guess what happens? It occurs in the game. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Coach Belichick has a crystal ball, which is why I give him 75% of the credit.
75%. It's a quarterback's game, but you're giving the coach 75%.
Because here's the thing. Until you – they try to prepare you for it. There's a reason why that you practice two-minute situations in practice. There's a reason why you practice the Hail Mary. Because if you get in a game situation, we need you to know how to line up, where to line up, and what we're going to do. So Tom Brady is put through those situations continuously.
So why doesn't Bill Belichick, who mostly coaches the defense, put his defense through situations so that they're better than getting torched by Nick Foles, torched at Jacksonville by Blake Bortles, torched at Detroit by Matthew Stafford, and torched Sunday in the second half for 31 points? Are they practicing? Maybe they don't practice defense. I don't know. They don't prepare on defense
anymore. On a 3rd and 10 situation, you know 3rd and 10, but you don't know the formations. See, when you're in a situation like that, you're going to, in offense, you're going to run what you're going to run. They don't dictate your formation when they come out of the defense. I'm coming out in three wides, or I'm coming out by two. I don't care what the defense come out in. Mm. So in a defense situation, it's a little different, Skip Bayless. You see what I'm saying?
How many plays does Bill Belichick call in a game? Zero.
Skip, see, why you got to minimize the man? I'm giving Tom his credit. I just don't want you to think that Tom Brady is the only guy that's offered reassurance to his team or teammates.
I don't think it was reassurance. He was predicting, I'm going to go win this game.
You know what I did? It just popped up on me. The New England Patriots did not punt Sunday night. So there was a great chance. They didn't punt all night. So he was really up against it. The 32nd ranked defense in total D. The 31st pass defense. Oh, that's what Tom Brady went and got the field goal against?
He was
really
flawless. You can't make one little mistake or that kid's going to throw it to Tyreek and you're going to lose.
Yeah, the defense.
Did you see what was happening to the defense?
I'm talking about the defense. I'm talking about Kansas City's defense. As bad as you say New England's defense, the Kansas City Chiefs
are
worse.
I'm not sure. They're right in the same ballpark.
No. There's levels to this. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they give up a lot of yards, Kansas City's, but they've been classic bend but don't break, because in the red zone, they've been pretty good until they faced Tom Brady. Finally, he said, I'll run it in.
No, yeah. They gave up their 19th in points allowed. Mm-hmm.
That's
32nd.
Pretty good, actually.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's good. That's below
better
average.
Than last.
That's they're 32nd in total D. They're 31st in pass D. That's where they are, Skip. So, in other words, they're bottom feeders. Mm.
When did John Elway in a Super Bowl have to come up clutch? First three Super Bowls he played in, what happened?
Because they
said. Blown out.
They were. But they said no other person could have got these teams to Super Bowls other than seven.
Oh, okay.
Other than seven. Right.
Well, again, did he have to come up clutch at the end of your Green Bay Super Bowl?
No. Hey, did you watch him in Cleveland? When he had to go 98 yards and get a touchdown with a minute and 36 to go?
I've seen,
is that clutch on the road?
I've seen Brady do it in six Super Bowls. When
he goes 90.
That was just a playoff game.
When he goes, just a playoff AFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. Come on, Skip Bayless. Don't try to deny my guy. My guy was this.
Don't get me started on Brady in AFC games, because against Jacksonville last year, 138 yards in the fourth quarter was 12 stitches in the palm of his throwing hand.
No, we don't do that.
That's pretty good.
We don't do that. You said we weren't bringing up injuries anymore. No. That's what you said. You said if you said Hall of Famer, you are in the Hall of Fame, right? They didn't revoke you. I said, no, they didn't revoke you, Skip. I'm in the Hall of Fame. Aaron Rodgers.
You're right. As Belichick said, it wasn't exactly open heart surgery.
No,
right?
But you told me Aaron Rodgers, he's not hurt. He just ran 4-3.
Well, he did.
Okay, well, don't do that. No mercy.
The Cowboys are headed to Washington to face the division-leading Redskins on Sunday. Now, even though Dallas scored 40 points in last week's win, their offense has struggled for most of the season, with a lot of blame pointed at Dak Prescott. But Jerry Jones told USA Today that his QB is more than just a game manager. Jerry said about Dak, he's not a bus driver, he's a weapon. And as mobility diminishes on a given play, then you'll pick up where he is with that great decision-making, with the mind he's got. I take offense with any serious projected criticism about his accuracy. He can get the ball within the circumference of where receivers can catch it. They need to help. So, Shannon, do you think that Jerry actually believes this?
I believe Jerry does probably believe what he's saying, Skip. He bought in on Dak after, his rookie season. There's a reason why. But it was reported that he really, really wanted to go back to Tony Romo, Tony Romo's box office. In his rookie season. Yeah. He has no choice now, Skip. Tony Romo retired, and now here we are 2 years later. But myself and others and guys that have played the position have questioned Dak's accuracy. Now, I tend to side with myself and guys that played that position over Jerry Jones. Jerry is biased. What do I expect him to say? Yeah, Dak, his accuracy is really suffering. I'd like to see him be a little bit more accurate. Obviously, he's not going to say that, Skip. But I believe deep down inside, Jerry Jones wants a high-octane offense because the rules are made for the quarterback to put up mind-boggling numbers. Hmm. And here we are playing like 1990s football. Jerry Jones did not build that stadium with a running game in mind. Hmm. They don't have those, Skip. When they have concerts and boxing matches, mm-hmm. what do they have there? They want Patriots. They want Kansas City. That's what he wants. Hmm. You know that. I know that.
They just scored 40 at home. They did. Well, they did.
Oh, so that's
going to be. How did they do it? With mirrors? Smoking mirrors? So I don't know. Penn and Teller?
Let me ask you a question. Where do you think the Cowboys are finished as far as scoring offense?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they just took off. Maybe that's what we're going to see. I just told you, detonation. Go ahead.
Jerry Jones loved the Tony Romo because Tony Romo was box office.
Yeah.
I believe Jerry would rather have that 51-48 performance and everybody talking about it as opposed to this.
That was against Peyton Manning.
Against Peyton Manning.
With the late interception predictably from Tony Romo.
We don't have to break up all of that.
I'm just saying, but he threw for, what was it,
507. Yeah, 5 touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, he was slinging it.
Yeah. And then he slung it right to Trevathan at the end of the game. And Peyton got a walk-off chip shot field.
We don't need to rehash all of that.
Well, I'm just saying, but that's who Tony was. That was the quintessential Tony Romo.
And that's
game.
What Jerry Jones loved. He loved fireworks. He loves box office. This isn't box office. And here's the thing, Skip. That term bus driver, or he's a game manager. Skip, if my kids get on the bus, all I ask the bus driver to do is get them to and from safely. Mm. Is that a bad thing? Because I can tell you, I know a guy who Skip said is the GOAT. How did he start his career, Skip? What was Tom Brady? A bus driver. Mm-hmm. A game manager.
Yeah, for a year he was. He wasn't the second year.
Second year they didn't make the playoffs because we went to New England and beat the Braves.
Super Bowl year. The Carolina year he was not a bus driver.
But he started. Skip, that was really his second year that he won the Super Bowl because he came in 2000. You make it seem like he was a rookie. He was not a rookie. And in his second year, he was a game manager. He was a bus driver, which is okay. More times than not, everybody's not going to get like Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. You unwrap him, no assembly required, and you say, go play, son.
At the end of Tom Brady's first Super Bowl, was he a bus driver, game manager?
Skip, he threw 441 yards.
At the
he
end
threw
of the game,
441 yards.
John Madden is in the TV booth saying they should shut it down and play for overtime, and they let the first-year starter throw it 5 straight times and set up a field goal.
And he had, 50 yards on the final drive. So going into the final drive, he had 90 yards. Yeah. So what would you consider that? Is that the Tom Brady we know today?
I would consider that clutch winning.
No. He was a bus driver. You can't get out from under that, Skip. That's what he was.
Is he the greatest quarterback ever?
That's what Dak Prescott is currently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Tell me when you're finished.
Hey, I'm done.
Really?
Yeah, I made my point.
So this just drives me out of my mind.
I know it
because
does.
I do believe Jerry believes it because it's just the truth. And what did you say? You're going to count on yourself. I'm going to count on myself on this one because I didn't play the position. I just learned football from Bill Walsh and Tom
you say
Landry
you love
and
Troy
Jimmy
Aikman.
Johnson.
Do you like Troy Aikman's commentary? Do you trust him?
I do trust
him. Okay, then.
And has Dak been inaccurate lately? And you always say you got to update your resume. Yes, he's had 3 inaccurate road games this year. He's had 3 really accurate home games, which is shocking to me. I'll get to that in a moment. But I'm going to say this again. Dak Prescott played the greatest rookie year season quarterback we've ever seen in the history of this league.
That's debatable.
And go find me one. Go find me a better one.
That's debatable.
Because he led in QBR. It's my favorite stat because it takes into account everything you do in the game, arm and legs, crucial downs, distance, what you convert, third down conversions, touchdowns in the red zone. He led in QBR all the way to the last mail-it-in game at Philadelphia when they had already clinched and he didn't play much and didn't play very well because They didn't care. So that's what he did his rookie year, and he capped it off with a home playoff game against the, you say, the greatest quarterback ever, yeah. Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And in that game, Dak Prescott, the game manager bus driver, threw for 302 yards and three touchdowns and brought them back to in what looked like they were going to pull the game out until Mason Crosbar hit two cross-country, unfathomable, inexplicable field goals from 56 and 51. That's not a game.
What happened?
Bus drivers can't do that as rookies in a playoff game against Aaron Rodgers. He was in a shootout with Aaron Rodgers.
And he lost.
And he held his own.
He
and by
lost.
The way, he's gone up against Aaron Rodgers three times, and QBR tells me he's outplayed him every time. He's had better QBR every time.
I lost him, too.
His average is 80 for the three times he's played Aaron Rodgers. He's lost two games, but again, he did his part to win all three games.
No, don't do
he
this.
Had,
so now
80.
We separate.
Wait. He had an 80 QBR in those three games. Aaron Rodgers had a 62. He almost 20-pointed him in QBR. That's hard to do.
Skip, that is
not a bus driver.
Skip, I can't believe
I'm sorry, it's not
Skip,
a bus driver.
I can't
driver.
Believe you would do okay. this, that you would separate Dak's performance. Okay. From the team performance.
Well, I am, because we're just talking about bus driver versus playmaker. He is a playmaker. That's what
he does. He's a bus driving playmaker.
Okay, he's a bus driving playmaker. So, last year, Kansas City was the eighth game of the year. Through the eighth game of the year, Dallas was 5-3.
Okay.
And guess what? Dak's QBR at that point was 75. That was second in the National Football League. He plummeted all the way to fourth at the end of the year because starting in game number 9, Zeke was suspended. So, they lost their running back for the next 6 games, and then they lost Sean Lee for 5 games, and he could not overcome that, and he did not play well down that stretch. He still finished 4th in QBR in the league, which is outrageously good considering you went 9-7. But the point is, there were 4 out of 5 games leading up to the Kansas City game. Look what he did. 3 touchdowns. That's 4 games of 3 touchdown passes. Is that a bus driver? I think not. And look at the QBRs in these games. The opening game, it's the Giants 73 at Arizona 87, against the Rams at home 81, against Aaron Rodgers 97, 49ers 82, and then Alex Smith and the high-flying Kansas City Chiefs came to Dallas, and Dak had a 96 QBR. That's not bus driving.
If you don't mind me
That's
asking.
Not game managing.
Okay.
That's spectacular quarterback playmaking.
You gave me some very good games. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting, and the QBR rate was over 85. But if you don't mind me asking, can you tell me what he had his QBR was in the Chargers game, the Broncos game, the Eagles games, and the Falcons game?
I just told you he was terrible. And he still finished 4th in the league. That's hard to do. There are a whole bunch of quarterbacks.
There are
like 40 who qualify.
I know a guy that finished first in the league.
And by the way, last year, if you do just quarterbacks who played 600 or more plays last year in QBR, 600 or more, and on a 9-7 team, he had the second best QBR in all of football.
Behind who?
I think it was behind Brady, the MVP of the league, who you don't like either. So you have no respect for Dak Prescott or Tom Brady.
This has nothing to do with or dislike.
You asked me, I told you.
This has to do with facts, Skip Bayless.
Okay. So,
you and I both know. How can you be anything other than a bus driver when the rules are set for you to succeed throwing the football and you're averaging 180 yards passing?
How does a bus driver score 40 on the number one defense in football coming into the game, Jacksonville? How do you score 40? How do you score 24 in the first half?
Yeah.
Playmaking. Make a play, convert, pass to Cole Beasley, run, read options. Yeah. What did I tell you? What did I pound the table for Scott Linehan to do? Unleash the quarterback.
Nobody thought.
He set him in motion.
Nobody thought, after watching the Jags play over the last 2 weeks, that they had the best defense. Now, yes, they were number one in total yards. Yes, but nobody thought that, Skip.
Okay.
We saw them.
What else did Dak Prescott achieve in his first 2 years as a starter? His team on the road went 12-4 in his first 2 years. That's the second best road record in all of football to the New England Patriots. Is that good? Is that bus driving?
No.
Okay, well, just help me out, because something unfathomable.
That was his rookie season. Well, I can make the case.
I'm doing both the first 2 years.
Okay.
12-4 combined on the road.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger's record was equally as good, and he won a Super Bowl in his second year. So what are we about to do about that?
Okay, well, I'm just saying, you're dismissing him as a bus driver.
That's what he was. That's what Ben.
You can't bus drive to 12-4 on the road.
If you don't mind me asking, Ben Roethlisberger both bus drove the 15-1.
Okay, but they were loaded on defense. They had the best defense in football.
But they ran the ball
with
Willie Parker. Thank you very much. They ran the football with Willie Parker and Jerome Bettis.
Okay.
And there you go, Skip. Thank you for saying
something inexplicable has happened to Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. They've been an abomination away from Dallas, and they've gone 3-0 at home for the first time in the history of Jerry World. They're 3-0 at home.
Okay.
I can't explain it. They can't explain it. So they said, as we heard yesterday, they had meetings all week. The offense met as a group just to talk about how can we communicate better on the road. And I just say, I loved what Jason Garrett said at halftime of the Jacksonville game. We played with, and this is the magic word, conviction. What have I told you? At home, they played with the conviction. You're going to have to take that conviction to Washington, and you're going to have to play loose, play not to lose, play, I mean, they've been playing not to lose. You have to play to win the football game.
Right.
You have to unleash the quarterback. You have to roll him out. You have to bootleg him. You have to run quarterback draws, and you especially have to go for it on fourth down, but with read options. If they had run a read option on that one that they didn't go for at Houston, he would have gotten that.
But the defense is playing so well. Now, you just said you got a top two scoring defense.
Number
you got
two.
A top five total defense.
Yeah.
And why would you not punt the ball, pin them down inside the 10, and you're going to get the ball back? Mm-hmm. Now you're going to rely on your defense. That's the strong suit of your team.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in Dak's rookie year, the offense, they relied heavily on the offense. So now the strong suit is your defense. Why wouldn't you rely on them? Mm-hmm. Skip, you make it seem like that Dak is in his 10th year and we're saying he's a bus driver or a game manager. He's only in his third year. Mm-hmm. Ben Roethlisberger was a bus driver for a number of years before he came what he's known as today. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady started. There are very few quarterbacks that start their career and you just throw them out and says, okay. Even Peyton got thrown to the Wolves, but what did he have in his backfield, Skip?
Mm-hmm.
He still had Marshall Faulk.
Yeah.
He still had Marvin Harrison as a wide receiver, but they threw him out there. So to ask Dak when he doesn't have a Marvin Harrison, now Zeke is a very, very good running back. Marshall could do it all. Marshall could run and catch the football. But to say Dak is you. As long as the kids get home safe, isn't that what we want from our bus driver?
No, that's not.
As long as you get that, hey, let me ask you a question. If Dak throws for 140 and you win the Super Bowl, would you be upset?
Mm. See, Dak has ways, so he's going to take lots of shortcuts, and he's going to do it with his legs instead of his arm.
I'm just asking you a question.
That's how he drives takes chances.
Skip. Mm. Don't get me. All I'm saying is just get me. Skip, it's okay. Just get me home safely.
You're going to see a team play much looser. I want to see more of this Conor McGregor arm swing after the plays because they were having fun on Sunday.
I saw that walking in.
I saw Dak Prescott smiling a lot on Sunday. I need to see him smiling at Washington.
You know what I saw? Mm-hmm. I saw Conor McGregor walk in the ring with that swag. And then when it time to come out the ring, I saw him sitting on his bum.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him sitting on his bum.
Yep.
I didn't see no swag.
But
I saw Khabib I'm the champ.
Well,
King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Huh. So where was Conor McGregor on Sunday? Did he go to the Patriots or the Steelers or the Rams? No, he didn't go to he went to Dallas. He went to Jerry World. And so all of a sudden it's contagious.
Knows.
And everybody's doing it. Zeke's doing it. Maybe we don't need so much of this anymore. Maybe we need more of this.
And they was in the club talking about loser. Everybody was talking about Khabib. Because for the longest time, now all of a sudden, you don't want to talk about O'Connor. Why you want him to hang with the Cowboys? He done took that L.
I like it because it rubs off. It's contagious enthusiasm. It's fun.
Why?
I want to see Zeke unleashed this time. I want to see them get creative with Zeke. Get him, toss it to him, get him running right and left, and then cutting it upfield. I want to see more creativity because they can have fun with this offense.
It's okay. It's okay. Jerry believes it. I mean, I'm good.
Yeah. So I got them winning 2017. 2017 at Washington will be a defensive battle. Washington's really good on defense.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
No, they're not that good. No. Check down Alex. You know what he does. He check it down. Mm-hmm. They'll need four. They'll need third and eight, and he'll throw a swing pass for 2 yards, and they'll come up and make the tackle and get off the field. You know what he does, Skip Bayless. That's why Andy Reid had no problem moving on down the road.
Yep.
There's no. Think about this, Skip. Mm-hmm. Why would you even take a quarterback if that's the guy? If Alex Smith is the guy, Andy Reid mortgages his future to move up to get this kid. Mm-hmm. Where they do that at?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Andy Reid won a whole lot of games.
Yeah, so he knows something we don't. Because he moved up to get Mahomes and let check down go. Why would he do that if he's the guy?
my rocket has launched.
Your rocket ain't doing nothing.
The Dak attack you got it done. Is back.
It's about to
the Dak
out.
Attack is back.
It's about to rain,
Skip. It is haunting you.
Let me ask you a question. Do they launch the space shuttle when it's raining? Or it's windy? It's got to be perfect conditions.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So you about to have T-minus, that's a negative. Mm. We have no liftoff.
So are you picking Washington?
Don't worry about what I'm picking just yet. We going to pick it later.
You're going to pick later? All right. No mercy. There will be a lot of focus on the backfield in Sunday's huge Cowboys-Redskins matchup. Ezekiel Elliott is second in the league in rushing this year, and he has 29 career touchdowns and 31 career games. On the other side, Adrian Peterson's resume shows he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day. AP has over 12,000 career rushing yards and over 100 touchdowns. We're joined once again by Eric Dickerson. Eric, in their best, who would you rather have for one game, Zeke or AP?
Game for your life.
One game.
Game for my life.
Yep.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with two great guys, two great backs. Let's start with that. Different kind of backs. Both of them are different. You know, one is a guy that catches the ball at the backfield. He's great at picking up the blitzes, runs inside well. He is a game changer. Mm-hmm. But then you have that one guy that he's special. He really is. He's a guy that can take it to the house. And that's what I'm big on, taking it to the house. Because at any moment, you know it's going to happen. It just matter when. And that guy for me would have to be Adrian Peterson.
Yeah!
Well, now we know where you're going.
You know, this guy is the only guy when he played that I was worried about him breaking my record. No one else. I wouldn't worry. Barry Sanders back in the day, but after that was it. You know, when he came in the league, I'm like, this guy has a chance to possibly go over 2,000 yards. He did go over 2,000 yards. Came 9 yards short of my record. Great, no problem.
You feel good now.
I feel good about it. I feel good about that. But for my money, a guy who can, like I say, take it to the house. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean, like, take it all away. You know, if he breaks it, oh, he's gone. That guy for me would be AP.
Mm. Are we for real? Mm. Are we even is this even a discussion? It's Adrian Peterson, and it's not even close. Skip Bayless, at the end of the day, there's no question of his generation, Adrian Peterson is the best running back of his generation. Are we sure, when it's all said and done, that Zeke's going to be the best running back in his generation? Is he going to be better than Le'Veon? Is he going to be better than Todd Gurley? Absolutely. Are we sure of that?
Yes.
I'm not so sure of that.
Yes.
Skip Bayless, do you realize that Adrian Peterson, in his rookie season, set an NFL single game record of 296 3 weeks before he went for 224? Mm. I'm looking for the game in which he's over three years in his career. I'm looking for the game that he's had 200. Mm. See, the difference is Zeke is a singles and doubles hitter. Mm. This guy right here hit his head on the goalpost from 80. We've seen him do it.
Tell me when it's my
turn. It's not your turn just yet, Skip. I can't even believe you. Adrian Peterson.
I haven't even spoken yet.
When you say of all-time greats, when you talk about, you talk about the Dickersons and the Jim Browns and the Peytons. Adrian Peterson, you know, would be thought favorably in that breath. Mm. He single-handedly drug a team to the playoff. Christian Ponder was his quarterback. Mm. Went for 297. Think about it, in a passing league. The guy was the MVP in a passing league when the league is set up for the quarterbacks and the offense to succeed that way. Skip Bayless, this is not even close for me. It's all day, every day, and it ain't close.
Interesting. So, we're talking about one game with your life is on the table,
right? Yeah.
So I want the money man. I want somebody who comes up big on the biggest stages. I want Ezekiel Elliott because every time he's been on the biggest stage, not good things, but great things can have happened as opposed to what's happened to Adrian Peterson. And I happen to watch every University of Oklahoma football game because I'm a fan. Let me explain. By the way, their speed is about the same. They're both in the 4.4 category, but they weren't in this man's category because this man ran 4.31, right?
4.3 flat and 4.3. Ran 2.40s.
4.3. So this guy's in another league from them, which is why I always say this is the greatest running back ever, right here on our show.
I know why you're smart. I see why you're smart, Skip.
No, I'm just telling you. but Eric's not a choice here. You know, I have to make a choice between these two. So I'll also point out that Ezekiel Elliott in high school, he won 4 state track championships. So he's there's nothing slow about him because he won in the state of Missouri, the 100, the 200, the 110-meter hurdles, and the 300-meter hurdles. That's hard to do.
That's all like being a surfing champ in Michigan. Andrew Peterson was in Texas.
Texas, okay. Texas is different.
So Ezekiel Elliott in college at The Ohio State University went on the greatest running back run in the history of college football on the biggest stages because he started with Michigan. That was kind of a quiet game, 121 on 17 carries. And then he went to the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin. He went 220 on 20 carries. And then he played St. Nick's defense in the national semifinal. He went 230 on 20 carries. You want to talk about taking it to the house? And then in the national championship game against Oregon, he went for 246 on 36 carries. And I only got to see him in one playoff game, and all he did was go for 125 on 22 carries against Green Bay in that playoff game. So big stage, he rises and shines. What did I see from Adrian Peterson, the University of Oklahoma? Again, I'm born and raised a fan. I watched all of them.
1,936 yards as a freshman.
I saw 3 big games. I saw the national championship game against USC, and he went 82 on 25 carries. I saw a bowl game, the Holiday Bowl against Oregon, 84 on 23 carries. I saw the Boise State disaster game in the Fiesta Bowl, and he went 77 on 20 carries.
Who is this coach?
Quiet.
Who is this
quiet.
Coach? But you know what? You know what? We're talking about.
Okay, we're talking about pro football. So let's throw Adrian Peterson in the playoffs. Talking about one game for your life. So Adrian Peterson's playoff record is 1-4, and he went over 100 yards one time in 5 playoff games, and that was the Bounty Gate game in which they lost in overtime with Brett Favre at New Orleans, mm-hmm. right? So only one, and so he's averaged 3.6 yards per carry in 5 playoff games. Is that good? I don't think that's good. You want your money on that? I don't. I want my money on this guy.
What's Zeke's record in the playoffs?
He's 0-1.
0-1. I'm going to say you beat me, too.
Yeah, but he had one better game. His one game was better than any of the 5 Adrian played.
You said that New Orleans game was one of the toughest, most physical games you had ever seen played.
Yeah, but it was a quarterback game as Drew
Brees. Let me tell you something. You said it best. You know, when you talk about
– I think I said it best. Nah.
when you talk about guys, you know, that run the football, that like I said, when you think of a football, a running back, and if I'm on defense, first thing you think of, this guy could kill us. He could kill us. He could hurt us. He could hit us with the long ball. He can wear our defense down. I think Adrian Peterson would have been able to catch the ball out of the backfield. But you know what? They didn't ask that of him because he was a runner. Just like me, my first year, I had 51 receptions for 405 yards. Hmm. But you know what? After that, I had no quarterback. So we strictly ran the football. You do what you do best. We run the football. Right. This guy, to me, is the
all day.
He's the X factor.
Eric, like
when I said 2,000 yards, Zeke is never gonna get close to 2,000 yards. You hear me say that?
Yes,
no, he will not. No, he will not.
He will.
No, he will not.
So maybe help me out purpose. Here. How did the Detroit at Dallas game end at Jerry World this year? What was the last big play of that game?
The pass to Zeke.
Oh, wait a second. Dak Prescott threw a perfect strike, a clutch deep ball to number 21, his running back, who lined up in the slot and ran just basically a go route. And he caught that ball because he is clutch. He comes up big in big moments. The other guy, not so much.
Did you see
he puts up a lot of yards against Tampa Bay.
Do you remember against Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers? Mm. They needed to win the game. Whoever won the game was going to be the division champ. Mm. They needed to win the game to get into the playoffs. That's what it was, because Green Bay had already had it locked up.
See?
And what did Adrian do?
It was another Aaron Rodgers choke job.
He put 200 on
it. Am I right? You're making my argument.
Adrian,
you can't trust
Adrian
Aaron Rodgers. This is the money on the
table. I'm not going to let you do that.
Well,
this
I just
did.
This is
not an Adrian Rodgers segment.
Yes, it is.
This is about Adrian.
You just brought it up.
By the way, let me ask you one question. Who's leading the league in rushing right now?
TG?
Who cares?
No. Come on, Skip. You've been jumping on that all year. Just say his name. Just say his name.
The Ram Bastard.
Just say his name.
You are the Ram Bastard. Todd Gurley.
There we go, Skip.
It's early, though.
Skip.
It is early,
man. You know Adrian Peterson got an MVP in a quarterback league.
It was really like comeback player of the year. That's what that was.
2,000 yards.
A sympathy vote.
2,000 yards.
Should Peyton
2,000 yards.
Did Peyton getting comeback player of the year?
I don't think so.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, but Peyton should have been the MVP.
Peyton could have
like
been.
Broke records.
He was 37 and 11.
So did AP.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, Skip. With Christian
Ponder. How far did that team go?
He's never had a quarterback. One time, what? Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
That was
never
it.
Had
and he went to the NFC Championship.
That was it.
Christian Ponder, Skip. Christian Ponder. That was his starting quarterback.
Come on, you know he's got
Stop
a quarterback.
Stop it, Skip.
Zeke has a quarterback.
Zeke's got a really good quarterback.
All those guys that were drafted in 2011. Think about that draft, Skip. That might be the greatest draft ever.
Yep.
If you didn't reach for a quarterback.
Yep.
Stop. Greatest draft ever. Come on now. 1983, dog. Come on, stop now. Hold up.
Y'all had another quarterback.
What are you talking about?
Quarterback.
You had that offensive line, right? You can stop. Stop with that. The greatest draft ever. More Hall of Famers than anybody.
Now, they might be up there with y'all.
Like I said, the greatest draft ever in 1983.
They're going to have Cam. They're going to have Von Miller. They're going to have Julio.
Brother, we got me. We got Darryl Green.
We got Elway,
Marino. We got Marino. I mean, should I keep going? Richard Dempsey.
Y'all got seven guys.
Should I keep going on?
I know how many of you guys
got seven.
All I got to say is, for you two, if you're betting your life on Adrian Peterson, I say RIP to both of you.
No.
I do.
No, whoa. RIP. No. But those were the two choices you
R-I-P
gave us.
RIP.
You said, in the clutch, you know, in their prime.
I'm living my life.
No.
I got
20. No. Those are the two choices.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Okay. Imagine if AP would play for the Cowboys.
With that offensive line?
Huh? Say no more.
Oh, he gets 2,500.
Can't trust
him. He gets 2,500.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I'm joining you guys.
I'm taking Terrell Davis. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Alex Curry, and keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast on Saturday morning featuring this week's best segments. Undisputed will be back Monday morning at the same time, 9:30 Eastern. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts, sports, one of one.